Would you turn to Isaiah 31? Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Thank you. Isaiah 31. Is everybody there? Glory. Would you read it with me starting at verse 1? Everyone say, whoa. And it's not a yo, it's a whoa. Whoa means hello. Whoa, poor thing. Whoa, get it together. Whoa, disasters, danger. Whoa. When you see whoa in the Bible, you know it's about judgment. Is everybody with me? Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Now, the word Egypt means world. Remember, the Jews that were in bondage were bondage under the ruler of the world. That's why they were in Egypt. Everybody with me? Now, if you remember what Egypt looked like, for those of us that remember the Ten Commandments movie, amen? Remember, they had all the gold and they dressed up like strange. They thought they were all gods. In fact, they all desired to be a god. And they used slaves, others abused other people and so forth. And their whole purpose was to promote self, to look luxurious and all sorts of other things, and to have fame and power. And he says, woe to those who go down to Egypt or to the world to get help. Hello. Woe to them. Judgment to them. And come on, read it with me. And rely on horses who trust in chariots because they are many. And in horsemen because they are very strong. But who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. I want to share something with you. These are called forsakers. They're called what? Forsakers. And that's the name of his title tonight, forsakers. See, you're either a forsaker or a seeker. These are individuals that stopped seeking and began to forsake. They went to the world for help because they saw how prosperous the worldly ones were. Everybody got it? So they chose to go to the ways of the world for help because they looked at the world thinking that they were strong. They were relying on things that brought power and prosperity and promotion of the world. But the Lord said, woe to them. And let me share something with you. In this flood that we are in right now, it's getting deeper, many are going to become forsakers and run to the world for help. Come on. Are you with me? Come on. Why? Because they've stopped seeking and they became forsakers. Let me tell you, the devil knows. As soon as you start to stop seeking, he's right there. As soon as you stop praying, you know, people don't fall because it's instantly. Oh, I fell. No, you fell way before you fell. Hello. And the reason why people fall is because they stopped seeking and they became forsakers. Does everybody understand that? And which way did they go? Towards the world, didn't they? People go back to use drugs and alcohol, fornication, and all things of the world. Why? Because to them it's fulfilling. But it's a lie, isn't it? The first thing that happens is they stop seeking and they become forsakers. Does everybody understand that? You know, there are people that are willing to forsake everything for a moment of pleasure. Isn't that something? We were there. We were there. Let's go a little further. Verse 2. Yet he also is wise and will bring what? Disaster, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. Let me share something with you. Many people look at sports players as gods. Rock and roll sorcerers, I mean stars, as gods. Come on, when we were young, everybody wanted to be a rock and roller or a famous sports player or somebody would, you know what I'm saying? They were our heroes. They were our gods because we wanted to be just like them. Amen? Till we knew the truth, and then we wanted to change all of our heroes to one. Jesus is my hero. Hallelujah. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. Why? Because they became what? Forsakers. Does everybody understand that? It's important. There are many forsakers. That's why the Bible tells us in the latter days, many will fall from the faith. They'll become forsakers, won't they? Because the number one thing that they will stop doing is seeking. The moment you stop to seek, I'm telling you, the moment you stop, you go to prayer no matter how you feel every morning. You must surrender every single day no matter what. I don't care what's happening. I don't feel like it. Too bad. Amen? Well, I'm busy. Too bad. Well, I got a lot of work to do. Too bad. Get up earlier. But it's too hard for me to pray. I'm too tired. Too bad. Pray with your eyes closed. Pray in the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You've got to seek God first. The moment you stop, you become a forsaker. And the devil waits. Oh, he waits. Does everybody understand that? He waits. And the flood is moving many individuals out. People are willing to forsake all kinds of things just to fulfill flesh, fulfill self. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Matthew chapter 6 and 31. Hallelujah. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. You know, many people fear that they're going to miss something from the world. I mean, you know, when we finally come out of the world and the devil says, man, you're going to miss something. You're going to miss something. What's he trying to do? Impart fear. Man, if you go get help from drugs and alcohol and get into a program, man, you're going to miss something out there. Yeah, I'm going to miss going to hell. Hallelujah. Yeah, but what about your boyfriend or girlfriend, man? You know you can't get right, man. Come on now, what's up? No. The only thing God's asking you and I to forsake is self. Hello. Forsake yourself. In fact, the Bible says those can't be my disciples unless they're willing to what? Forsake what? Everything. Amen? Matthew 6 and 31, would you read it with me? Therefore what? Do not worry. Hey, what's worry associated with? Fear. Fear. Don't worry. You know, some people say, man, I tell them, man, what you afraid of? I don't have any fear. Well, what you worried about? I don't have any worries. Well, what you anxious about? What do you mean? Whoa. So you're not anxious about anything? No! There's just a few things I got to do right away. I got the I got to do spirit. If I don't do it, nobody else will. Hello? Praise God. Oh, not fear. I'm not worried. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Man, we take people off the streets. The first thing they want to say is, man, I need to go get my clothes. Come on, they're a bunch of rags anyways, man. And they're at the girlfriend's house or whatever. All of a sudden, you know, they're not concerned about being healthy or getting... The first thing they're concerned about, my clothes. What if, like, their clothes are going to save them? Or maybe they're going to pawn them for $3. Hallelujah. My clothes. Verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know, some people are more concerned about what's for dinner than anything else. What's it say? Verse 33. But what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. Therefore what? Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself and its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, you got enough trouble today. What you worrying about tomorrow for? I mean, you know, what are you worrying about tomorrow for, man? Just roll that. You'd be ended up in double trouble. The trouble you're in today and the trouble you're in tomorrow that you haven't even gotten to. Seekers, not forsakers. You seek the kingdom. Now, let me share with one of the things that, you know, people think, well, seek. Okay, well, let me share with you. Seeking the kingdom means seeking God's principles. Does everybody understand it? Seeking His character. Seeking the kingdom is not this, oh, Lord, I come to you and I need a new Mercedes. Lord, I'm seeking the kingdom. Lord, I need this. I need that. Lord, how about some filet mignon come from the north, south, east, and west? Come on, you sent the quail over to them in Egypt. I know you can send me some steaks. That's not a seeker of the kingdom. That's a seeker of self. And it's a forsaker of the kingdom. Does everybody understand that? What we're supposed to be doing is seeking kingdom principles, seeking character. The word seek means to search out, dig, see it through, pursue. Don't let it go. Don't give up. Amen? You know, they forsake because they quit seeking. But the flood will expose those forsakers because they become users of God instead of servants of God. Amen? Go to 2 Timothy 3. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. We're going to be hearing this scripture quite a bit. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? But know this, then in the last days, perilous times will come. In other words, flood of the enemy is going to come. So everybody got it? For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. In the last days, there'll be more forsakers. There'll be less seekers, in other words. Has everybody got it? Many who are seekers will become forsakers in the last days. Why? Because of perilous times. And God's really trying to root us. We are rooted. Won't be able to move. When you are strongly rooted, when the wind comes and the storms come, even though it tips and bends and so forth, because it's strong rooted, it will not come out. Amen. God is trying to root us so that we don't get swayed, tossed by the words of the enemy. We'll become unmovable. Amen. Unmovable no matter what. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Titus chapter 1. There will be no longer a but ministry. But. Yeah, but. The but ministry will drown in the flood. Because God says we're the head and not the tail, right? Titus chapter 1 and verse 10. Would you read it with me? For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be what? Stuffed. Who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they what? What's the word deny mean? Forsake. Amen. They forsake him, being what? Abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. They profess to know God, but forsake his principles. In return, they deny him or forsake him, and they become disqualified to produce good works that expand his kingdom and bring glory to his name. Does everybody understand this? Hallelujah. Go to Luke 22. Praise you, Lord. Luke 22. And verse 31. Hallelujah. 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may what? Sift you as what? Wheat. You think he's asked for you? Ooh, you betcha. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not what? Fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Wait a minute. Jesus saw something Peter didn't. He said, Peter, Satan wanted to sift you, but I'm praying for you. Now, he didn't say that he would stop Satan. He said, I'm praying for you. Hello. Does everybody understand that? He said, now listen, I'm going to pray that your faith is going to hold during this flood. And after you bite the bait and get up on your feet, I want you to come back and strengthen your brethren. Hello. Verse 33. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to die. Oh, did he blow it? And what did Jesus said? And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you even know me. Ooh. In other words, Peter was going to forsake the Lord three times, but yet his desire was to die for him. Oh, there's a lot of words out there, isn't there? There's a lot of words out there, but Jesus was going to test his words. I mean, he put Peter in his place. Peter said, Lord, I'm going to die with you, man. I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready to do whatever. Jesus looked at him and said, right. You're going to be challenged on those words today, Peter. In fact, you're going to forsake me three times. But you're going to come back. And when you come back, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Amen? Why? Because I want you to tell them what caused you to fall. I want you to strengthen them. I want you to encourage them. See, even when we forsake the Lord, he never forsakes us. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Denying is forsaking. It's actually a representation also of betrayal. Satan is the originator of betrayal. Amen? He forsook his God, his office, and eventually his life. It's a representation of the spirit of Judas. And we have a teaching called the spirit of Judas. It talks about those who eat with you and sit with you, yet their heart is betrayal. And the Lord knows the heart of an individual. It's a forsaking heart. The forsakers are associated with the spirit of Judas. Does everybody understand that? And the enemy loves to encamp himself. He loves to sway individuals, doesn't he? Amen? Did you ever notice that even in your troubles and so forth, when the flood comes and the enemy comes and so forth, the first thing that the devil says to you, why did God allow this to happen to you? What's he trying to do? Get you to forsake the Lord, isn't he? Amen? He's always trying to blame God for your stuff. You know, people are trying to blame God for their stuff. Instead of take responsibility of their own stuff. Oh, but I prayed. Well, yeah, you prayed 3 days too late, man. You should have prayed ahead of time. This stuff wouldn't have been there. Somebody get it? Well, I prayed no. Well, good. Now get back in position and accept your consequences. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hosea 4. Hosea chapter 4. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Oh, glory. Forsakers. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge understood is truth. Knowledge not understood is not truth. Partial truth does not set you free. Truth does. Does everybody understand that? And the enemy loves to deal with partial truth, because he still has you in bondage then. See, partial truth is a part of reasoning. Amen? The enemy will use the truth and reason with it. He won't tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He'll tell you a partial truth and a partial lie. Amen? Look what he did to Eve. Did he tell her the truth? No. He told her a partial truth. But he didn't tell her the whole truth. Because if he did, he would have been exposed. He didn't tell her, hey, look at Eve, I'm lying to you. I want to just check you out, you know, see where you're at. No. He deceived her, didn't he? She forsake the Lord. Hello? Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Now, what's a priest do? Anybody know? He ministers to the Lord. He what else? Inquires of the Lord. He discerns what's holy and unholy. What else? He blows the trumpet. What's he blow the trumpet for? For battle, for warning, and what else? Gathering. Amen. You see the importance of a priest? That's right. He teaches. He offers up a sacrifice of praise. Amen. So Jesus said, listen, man, because you have rejected my truth, I will reject you from the position of being priest for me. In other words, it's someone that God wants to use. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children, or I will forsake your children. So let me share something with you. Because someone in the family line forsook the call of the Lord, the children were forsaken. Does everybody understand that? And they had to go through hell on earth to finally come to the place to become a seeker instead of forsaker. And when they called on the name above all names, Jesus, Jesus said, okay, here I come. Now it's time. Then he rescues those children, and he brings those children in a position to begin to break off curses off the family line. That's why many of us here are the first fruits of our family line. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Galatians 6. Praise be to God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Everybody there? Everybody okay? You getting it? How many of y'all want to be a forsaker? Although you raise your hand, you better break the curse off. How many of y'all want to be a forsaker self? Man, no, don't let fear prevent you from not lifting your hand up. Galatians 6, 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not what? Be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Now listen, one of the things the enemy wants to do is cause you to forsake so you can sow to your flesh and you can reap corruption. Does everybody understand that? See, if the enemy can get you to sow to your flesh, then he knows he's got access to you. Because when you sow to your flesh, you've just tied the hands of God. By forsaking God or denying by walking away in any way whatsoever, by saying no to the Lord, we forsake him, we sow to the flesh, we tie the hands of God, and the enemy has free access to you to bring corruption in your life. Do you understand that? Praise God for you, God. Thank you. Do you all understand that? Can everybody give me an amen? I want to make sure you all understand this. If you sow to the flesh, you reap what? Corruption. And who wants you to cause you? He's going to cause you. He tries to cause you to sow to your flesh. You understand? Then he's got free access to you. He gets a free ticket. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Simple teaching tonight. Pretty quick. Second Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Paul writes his letter, and he writes to Timothy. He says in verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has what? Forsaken me. Ouch. Having loved this present world, he lost one of his disciples in whom he trusted. And has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens, for Galatia, Titus, for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Titus I've sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Taurus when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Ooh. Paul was forsaken by the people he trusted. How many have ever been forsaken? Jesus will never forsake you. Listen, in ministry, you're going to find that you will be forsaken. As you begin to grow more and more, you're going to find that not everyone is going to live up to your expectations. Does everybody understand that? You can't be moved by anything to that degree. Some of you will be reconciled to your families and so forth, and you're going to be expecting your spouses to live up to your expectations. And you can't allow those things to move you, because the enemy will try to tell you, well, you've been forsaken. Amen? He tries to get individuals into the woe is me, and I'm lonely, and this and that and whatever. What's he trying to do? Move you out of position, isn't he? Amen? Go to Matthew 26. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 55. Matthew 26 and verse 55. Jesus was in the garden, and Judas, his betrayer and forsaker, brought the soldiers into the garden to arrest Jesus for cash. In verse 55, and in that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples what? Forsook him and fled. They all ran. Everybody got it? Like I said, people will forsake you due to the challenges of endurance. They won't be willing to stand when things aren't going right. When the flood of the enemy is coming in, you'll find that you might be the only one standing. Does everybody understand this? You cannot let the enemy move you out of position because everyone else has forsaken you. Does everybody understand this? This is so important because it moves people out of position many times. You could be the only one standing and God will restore everything that was forsaken. Does everybody understand? No matter what, you cannot be moved. God doesn't want you to associate with forsakers until they become seekers. Oh, hallelujah. People get offended, don't they? People forsake because they're offended. Somebody may say something or whatever. Ah, that's a... because there's too much of self there. And then there people are willing to forsake. I'm telling you, there are people willing to forsake marriages over a dispute. It's because of pride. Amen? Because of pride. Oh, hallelujah. I heard of a gentleman who lost his job. In fact, I heard this today. He lost his job. And a friend of his who was in construction offered him a job. So he was going to go work for him. And they had a disagreement. So he said, forget it. I'm not going to work for you. And he's got a wife and kid to support. So because of a minor dispute, he chose to not take the job and sit on his pride. Amen? Does everybody understand that? And now he is, in true reality, he has forsaken his family for himself. Does everybody get it? He forsook his family for himself, for his wife and two children, he put himself in front. He forsook his family, his children, but he didn't forsake self. And that's what he was supposed to do from the beginning, wasn't he? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. John 6. Glory to the Lamb. 660. Hallelujah. Now Jesus expressed something to his disciples and he shared with them about the importance of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Well, they didn't get it. Therefore, in verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said this to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why? Because there was something that they did not understand. You know, there are going to be many people who do not understand your decisions. As you begin to walk in the Spirit more and more and God shares with you what He wants you to do, there'll be those who don't understand your decision. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? They won't understand the things of the Spirit. They won't understand your decisions. And they'll become offended and they will forsake you because they won't understand the things of the Spirit. Does everybody understand? This is important. You can't be moved by being forsaken. You can't. You must continue to go forward for what God has for you. Not everyone is going to understand you. Hello? Not everybody. Not everybody's where you're at. Not everybody's gone through what you've gone through. That's why it's difficult for someone who hasn't been a drug addict or alcoholic or whatever out there or gone to jail to talk to someone who's been there or hasn't been there. Amen? Because they really don't understand. I get parents and families that call me, I just don't understand why my son or my daughter's this way. Of course you don't. They just don't understand it. And as you begin to grow in the spirit and so forth, there and as God begins to reveal certain things to you and mature you more and more, and you begin to try to explain to somebody else who's been a believer for 30 years, but he hasn't had the spirit flow yet or have a fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and you're going to try and explain something to them, and they're not going to get it, and they're going to get offended, and they're going to forsake you. Hello? And you can't allow that to move you. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 19. You know, there are decisions that I've made many times, thank God, not too many times, where I've been forsaken. People walked away or whatever and so forth because of certain decisions that were made. And then there were, you know, and I would go to the Lord more and more, and I'd say, Lord, I wonder, man, was that me or was that you? And sometimes you just don't realize what's going on. But if you're a seeker of the Lord, the Bible says he'll establish your steps. If you're a seeker of the Lord and you acknowledge him and you commit to your works to him, he's going to establish your thoughts. And there's going to be things that you're going to make a decision that you're going to wonder later whether that decision was of God or of you. And you'll know whether it was of God or you. Hello? And sometimes it doesn't come the next day. Sometimes God checks your integrity. He wants to know whether you're going to stand for the cash or stand for the truth. He wants to know whether you're going to stand for the world or stand for the character of Christ. He wants to know what you're going to stand for. Because you know what he's checking? He wants to know if you're going to forsake him or forsake yourself. We get challenged daily. Daily. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 19, verse 20. Somewhere around there anyways. Matthew 19. Let's start at 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And a young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. See, this man was doing all of these things to maintain his self-righteousness. Has everybody got it? But he wasn't doing it to follow Jesus, was he? He was doing it to maintain his self-righteousness. And when Jesus said to him, okay, do you really want to follow me? Then go get rid of everything you have and give it to the poor. But when the young man heard that saying, he fainted. No. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What did he do? He forsook the Lord, didn't he? Jesus gave him an opportunity. Come on, follow me. I know you've been self-righteous, but it's time to forsake yourself. Quit relying on all that stuff of your possessions and follow me. He said, no, I can't give that up. So he denied the Lord, didn't he? Amen, and he forsook him. Oh, hallelujah. Money will cause people to forsake you. Come on, money moves people out of position all the time. You know why? Because they believe they deserve more. So what they've done is forsaken the Lord. No, I wouldn't forsake the Lord. Well, you just denied him. Why? Because you couldn't wait on God to bring you. Does everybody understand? Things come across my path every single day. You got to eat the meat and throw the bone out. Amen. See, what the enemy always tries to do, especially with money, is to bring what? You know, when somebody gets a raise, most of the time they already have the money spent. Hello? You know, they're already thinking about, let's see, what can I do with this money? Oh, man. Yeah. Whoa. Let's see, I can buy some of this. I can buy some of that. Yeah. And they didn't even get paid yet. The first day at work, the enemy's telling them, whoa, wait till Friday. Man, you know, come on. What are you going to do with that check? The enemy's telling him, come on, you need the tithe to me. Hello. See, when you can't wait on God, you forsake him. Does everybody understand that? The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Be anxious for nothing but what? Pray and wait. Right? Be anxious for nothing. But wait on the Lord with prayer and supplication. Money will cause people to forsake you. I see it happen all the time. People get moved out by money. That's one of the enemy's toys and ploys and lures of the world, isn't it? Amen. 1 John chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. There was a gentleman I was speaking with today who's coming from out of town, come to the discipleship house, and he's been in quite a few programs. You'll have to get deprogrammed. And one of the things he kept saying was, you know, I'd be okay for a month or two, and then bam. And we began to talk about certain things, and I shared with him, you know, the first thing that happens is you stop seeking. The enemy convinces you that you are okay. Well, we're not okay. I'm not okay. Okay? He convinces you you're okay. He convinces you did what you need to do and now you deserve whatever. See, if somebody's going to give you a raise at work, the first thing that they're going to say, man, you earned it. And the devil's going to say, yeah, you deserved it. You did real good. And the Lord's going to wait for you to say, to God be all the glory. Let me share something with you. It only takes a slip of the tongue to open the door to the devil. He is looking for every loophole he can get. That's why we're to repent quickly. It's so important. The Bible says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, but curses the man who trusts in man. There are so many worldly seekers who become forsakers of the will of God. People forsaken their calling for work, for money. They have forsaken their destiny for money. Look at Esau, forsook his birthright for a bowl of soup. Whoa. You know, people have forsaken their families for a hit or a drink. In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Would you read it with me? Oh, hallelujah. Let's start at verse 18. Little children, is the what? Last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be what? Manifest that none of them were us. Some will forsake and become manifest because their heart was not right. Again, Eve forsook her position for self. Many forsake birthright, marriages, destiny, callings, families for covetousness, for worldliness and greed, for prosperity and self-promotion. They are forsakers, not seekers. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. The word says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Ooh, chihuahua. A little leaven leavens the what? Whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. See, it doesn't take much. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It doesn't take much. The word says, two touch and agree, and it comes to pass, doesn't it? That's all you need to do is touch and agree with the voice of the stranger, and it will come to pass. And you will forsake the Lord. You will deny him. See, when you're not walking according to the word of God, you are denying the Lord. You know how many people fall into fornication? They fall into greed and deception and so forth. And when they do those things, the enemy has a foothold on them. He shackles them. And a person can't come out until he repents. And most of the time gets help. Because there needs to be some kind of guidance there. Amen. If you've ever noticed when you've backslidden, depending on how long you were backslidden, it makes it more difficult to come back in. And the enemy tries to sway the individual more and more to forsake God, because the enemy tells the individual that God has forsaken them. But God has never forsaken them. They have forsaken God. And then they stay out longer and get doped up, drunk up, and whatever, and try to drown it and whatever. And it doesn't get any better. It just gets worse. And God is standing there the whole time with his arms open saying, come on. I've not forsaken you. See, that's when we make ourselves an enemy to God. Not that God is our enemy. We're his. Amen? It only takes a little. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. That's why when you touch and agree with something, and you realize, now you may not have understood it, but you touch and agree with something, you find yourself in rebellion. Any area of rebellion means you've touched something unclean and you're beginning to forsake the Lord instead of forsaking self. You know, if you got to hide something, you ain't doing something right. People do sneaky things. When people are doing sneaky things, it's because they ain't doing something right. Hello. I mean, you know, yeah. Like, even with children, sometimes they'll do sneaky things and they'll say, well, I was afraid you were going to say no. Well, if I was going to say no, it's for your own good, bonehead. Right? See, the problem was fear. Not trusting God. So when fear is involved, fear always causes you to forsake the Lord instead of forsaking yourself. Then you lose the trust of God. I'm telling you, so many people have fallen into relationships on a sneaky level, thinking nobody sees or God doesn't see. Hello. Or they begin to look at certain things, or they begin to, whatever, pursue certain things they shouldn't. Go to places they shouldn't. Touch things they shouldn't. Like God doesn't know. And then they're convinced it's God. Oh, it's God. It's got to be God. It came across my path. Yes. It was lust at first bite. Hello. If there's something sneaky, then it's not God. If you got to hide something, then you're in fear. And fear means you're forsaking the Lord and not forsaking yourself. That's why when we were out using, we didn't come out when we wanted to be light. You kidding? We were night people. Come on, you remember being in the bar when the lights came out and everybody looked like a demon. Man, I was talking to that. Dear God, help me. I mean, that's why everybody runs to the door. The lights go out and everybody splits. You know why? Because they just realized what they were talking to. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And they thought they were doing it in darkness, you know. Nobody can see. Then when the lights go on, fear really hits. It's a righteous fear. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He made us alive no longer according to the world. Does everybody understand? Even though that you and I walked according to the world in darkness, we no longer walk according to the world. Why? Because the world is forsaking the Lord. Amen? They're walking under the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist forsakes the Lord and the principles and the character and the ways of the Lord. Is everybody with me? Good. John 17. Now, I said all this to bring you to this. Hallelujah. In John 17 and verse 6, the Lord is about to unleash the body of Christ into the world like never before. The reason why I was quickened to share about forsakers and being forsaken is to prepare you. The anointing and the carriers of the anointing of the Lord are going to be released into the world. And by being released into the world is going to hate you even more. Those that you thought were your friends are going to forsake you. Those you got along with. There's going to be such a release into the world that it's going to infiltrate the world. Many souls will be saved. And many forsakers will become seekers. Hello. God is about to release his body into the world in many areas in a greater way than ever before. And one of the things that you must understand is not associating with forsakers, hello, but be an example to them as a seeker, that they will come from forsaking to seeking. He's going to release his body into the world in a great mighty way in all fields, in all areas. Is everybody with me? We are about to infiltrate the world in business, in talent, in power and authority, in wealth and unity and holiness, like something the world has never seen. That's why the teaching of forsakers had to be imparted tonight. Is everybody okay? And John 17, in verse 6, and Jesus was praying, and he said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they have believed you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be as one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Why? Because he's about to release you into the world in every area of life. But that you should keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them by... They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Again, I want to share with you that there is going to be an infiltration of the body of Christ into the world like never before. In business, in talent, in power, authority, in wealth, in unity, in holiness, like something the world has never seen. It's happening. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to close here. There's something very important Jesus said. He said, I sent them into the world. You do not go into the world until you are sent. Oh, hallelujah. You know, in the military, the way that they protect some of the waters is they have submarines that go down and they plant mines all around the land in certain areas. They're there for a period of time. Some of them they haven't even activated yet. Many of the ships may bounce off of them and so forth, but because they're not activated. But at a specific time, they all will be activated. And there'll be such an explosion. There'll be such devastation to the enemy like never before. And that's what God is getting ready to do. Does everybody understand this? But one of the things he said, you got to get sanctified. You got to begin to forsake yourself. There are things I'm doing I don't even know why I'm doing. I was telling that to Mom. I said, you know, there are things God's bringing me into. I don't even know why I'm doing it. And the Lord said to me this morning, I'm sending you into the world. But he's sending me into the world in another area. And he's getting ready to send his children and the body of Christ into the world. To what? Take the wealth of the wicked. He's getting ready to take back the land. He's getting ready to take back places that the enemy has had. He's getting ready to expose so much demonic activity. He's getting ready to empower his children. I'm telling you, you're all a bunch of walking dynamite. Dynamite! You're not activated yet. Hello? But there's going to be a time when that activation is going to hit, that wherever you are, strategically positioned, that you're going to change everything. Remember Joseph. Look at all the stuff he had to go through. He didn't understand why he got there. And he changed it. And what happened? Even Pharaoh gave him highest position. Why? Because whatever that man touched prospered. Amen. Strategically, God is placing his body into the world for such a moment as now. It's happening. I'm telling you, this morning he said to me, I'm sending you into the world. But I saw the body of Christ just going into the world and taking and fighting. Taking the heavenlies, strategically being positioned. Where the wisdom and knowledge from the throne room of God is going to hit people of God. And they're going to have understanding like they've never had before. Witty inventions. Revelations. All kinds of things. People are going to be able to do things they never thought they could do. It's not going to be according to the world system. It's going to be according to the eternal system. But it's going to use the world system for its benefit, but they won't be bound to the world system. Do you understand that? We're above the world system. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? 2 Corinthians. Glory. So I had to bring you through all of that to tell you that. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers or forsakers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I'll walk among them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. In other words, come out from among them, but be in them. Does everybody understand that? Come out from the traditions and the worldly system. Get your wisdom from above and not from beneath. Don't get your wisdom from that's been transferred from man to man to man. Get your wisdom from above. This is how we come above. The world is going to be sucked into the flood. Just like when Noah. Because they're not forsaking self. Does everybody understand that? And the more you forsake yourself, the more the Lord is there. You got to become a seeker, no matter what. Seek the kingdom principles. Don't use the kingdom. Seek the kingdom and let God use you. Amen? Does everybody understand what the Holy Spirit was expressing tonight? It's important. Don't become forsakers. Maintain seekers. And get ready for what God is about to do. He's going to send you into the world. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We commit all things to you, Lord, and we repent for any area of our life where we are forsaking you and not forsaking ourselves. So we ask, Father, that you sever all of these things in our life that are not associated with your plan and destiny for each and every one of us. That your desires will be our desires. That your ways will be our ways. And that the heart of Christ will become our heart. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And we are honored to be here at this specific moment in time. Send us. Send us, Lord. And prepare us for your glory. Now let every seed that's been imparted in here tonight bring revelation, knowledge, impartation, wisdom, and discernment to be prepared as the world begins to forsake them. That they not be offended in any way, Lord, but they stand firm in their call with you. In Jesus' name.